Welcome back to Little Girl in a Poly World. I'm your favorite little girl, Taj, and today I'm honored to be sitting down with Sir Blake of Dallas, Texas. So, Sir Blake, thank you so much for sitting down with me and answering these questions.
All right, well, thank you for having me here. It's an honor and a pleasure. So tell me, what would you like to know about me?
So, my first question was, when did you first start your kink journey?
Okay. For me, I would say I started this kink journey maybe about 8 to 9 years or so ago. Something that's always been deep within my personality, but because it's such a, or considered to be such a taboo subject for most people of color, it was one of those things I was suppressed within myself. But as time progressed, that natural instinct in nature just became stronger and stronger, so I stopped trying to suppress it, and I started to educate myself on it. Once I educated myself more on it and about this particular lifestyle and everything that comes with it, it really opened up my eyes to a lot of things, so I know that I'm not alone and this is not uncommon, and I decided to go ahead and just fully embrace it, and here I am now.
Okay, so what kind of brought you to the realization that you may be, or that you are, a dom those 8 or 9 years ago?
I would say what really got me there was just the fact of just the way I was raised and just my personality. I like to keep everything so neat and structured. I'm not one for disobedience. I'm not one for disrespect. You know, I respect authority to a certain degree if it's, you know, being fair and reasonable. But in the same regards, someone who's just being completely unruly and being defiant for no reason is someone I feel like it needs to be corrected. And that's always been a big irksome thing with me, or that itch. And this lifestyle provides me the way to satisfy that in a controlled environment, I guess you say, to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that's what really got me there. And once I started doing more education and broadened up my horizons on how a person can be structured, more disciplined, minus military aspects, not trying to go that far with it, but definitely so knowing that, hey, things have to be done a certain way, they're done for a reason. Whether you understand or you see the big picture is one thing, and that's great if you do, but if you don't, always know that I see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I need you to follow my lead and do as I tell you. And then at the end, once you see the end result, you'll understand it.
So, are there any other titles within the kink community that resonate with you? Like, for instance, would you, outside of just being a dominant, do you also see yourself as, like, a master or a daddy or a sadist?
Absolutely. Especially nowadays, a lot of people can identify with more than one particular title. For myself, I definitely do. But then it's also good to know which one do you identify with the most, which one is the most prevalent within you. So for me, I'm definitely a daddy. That is like my most dominant feature there through and through, because again, it gives me that parental authority and figure. So that's like, hey, I'm here, I'm going to discipline you. But like most loving parents, I'm going to be fair about it. I'm going to give you your time to potentially make your mistakes and let you learn from them. But if it's something I see that's become a continuing problem, then for me, it becomes stupidity. And it's like, that's something I just don't tolerate. So I'm going to correct you after that. Your first time, they're going to be considered ignorance. You didn't know better. And that's typically what ignorance is. You did something wrong. You didn't know it was wrong until someone taught you. Whereas stupidity, you did something wrong. You knew it was wrong, but still did it anyway. So therefore, now you got to be disciplined. Now you got to be corrected. But for myself, yeah, that would be the most prevalent and dominant feature within me. But then I would definitely say I'm also a bit of a sadist. I am a bit of a primal person, you know. So during a session, depending on my partner or what they're into, you know, I can Like I said, I can be Prime, I can growl in your ear, I can choke you, I can bite you, so on and so forth. But then as a sadist, you know, again, I can be like, I don't give a damn about your feelings or care about you crying. You know, at this point, your job is to serve me, make, you know, please me, make me happy. This is what you're here for. So this is what you want to do. But then also, again, at the end of the day, the most dominant feature is me being the daddy. So I want to give you that aftercare. I want to hug you and caress you and hold you, let you know everything's going to be okay. You've been a good girl. Or no, you did this wrong. Let me correct you. Let me help you learn this. You know, all I need to do is X, Y, Z, and I'll take care of everything else, making sure that, you know, all you have to worry about the little minor details while I take care of the big thing. So if something goes wrong with most parents, hey, I'm the one going to take the blunt end of it. I'm here to protect you and minimize any damage towards you because you're under my protection. You know, you're under my authority, my leadership. So if anyone's going to take the fall for something going wrong, it's me. But if something goes right, then we all are going to take the credit for it because you follow and listen to my directions and my instructions, and this is where it led us to.
Okay, Sir Blake, so we've covered your kink journey and what being a dom means to you. But fun fact is that you're also poly. So can you tell me about your introduction to being poly?
All right. Honestly, the introduction there wasn't the greatest per se. It was more so just a logical thing for me. And, you know, once I figured it out, I kind of went from there. But basically, when I tell anyone who asks me why or why do I enjoy being poly, what do I think about being poly, I put it to them like this and I give them this analogy. You know, as a child growing up, you know, you have your family and you can love everyone in your family without any issues. Mom, dad, brother, sister, grandma, grandpa, cousins, whoever. Mm-hmm. You can love all of them. No one gets an issue about it. It's perfectly fine. And then as you grow up, go to school, meet friends, get a job, co-workers, you can technically love all of them. No one has nothing to say. There's no issues. Hey, I love this person. They're my best friend. So on and so forth. But the moment that you get in a relationship with someone and you love them, care about them, everything, great. But if you meet someone and say, hey, I love them too, then all of a sudden, that's a red flag. Now you're being wrong. You're, you know, you're not being fair. You're unjust. You're cheating. You're everything but a child of God. And I'm like, okay, well, how does that work? You know, that's kind of illogical because one, on this end, you can love most of the people, that's not a problem. But on this one particular subject here, if you love multiple people, then it's a problem. So for me, it just didn't register and it just didn't click or make sense. Mm-hmm. So that's what led me to go out and, you know, finally be a polyamorous person. So it's like, okay, well, what is it? Like, you know, why is it such a bad thing versus everything else? You know, if you're supposed to be on this earth to love any and everybody, why am I being victimized or criticized for loving more than one woman at a time? And I'm saying I can only be with this one woman. So as I went through this journey and, you know, I found someone who was actually polyamorous as well, then that's when it all clicked for me. And it's like, okay, so it's not just me. So apparently there are other people who think like I do and who realize, hey, it's okay to love more than one person. Doesn't take away from you, doesn't take away from them. That just means there's another person that they love just as much as you. There's another person that they love and they want to share things with you because you don't have to do it alone. You can all do it together, so on and so forth. But, you know, that's everyone's dynamic is different, so to each his own. But yes, that was kind of my introduction to it. Just me contemplating, thinking about things and letting the wheels turn. And that's kind of how I stumbled upon it myself.
Okay. So what would be the configuration of your relationship that would best suit you? So would you more so want a triad, or would you want to build like a tribe? What configuration is the best for your lifestyle?
I would say for me, it's a kind of a difficult question to answer, but if I had to be honest, I would probably say, let me. I think it's called the tabletop, or it's,
Kitchen table.
yes, there we go. I actually think that would be the best one for me, just because it's like, okay, me and my partner, we're together, we're solid, we know we got each other's back, cool. But then we have another couple that we love just as much as we love each other. I love her, she loves me, she loves him, he loves her, and we can all interact and be great. So to me, that's ideal, because let's just say a good example would be if something happens to my partner, but I'm stuck at work and I just cannot get away. At least I know, hey, there's not one, but there's two other people she can call, and another one is a guy. So depending on what the situation may be, he can go there, take care of the situation, get it handled in my place while I'm not there, or vice versa. And if you break it down to maybe a more generic level, when you go to your job, they say, who's your emergency contact? A natural thing is either go put, your best friend or family member, or obviously your spouse. But in this case here, hey, I got three people I can put down, two women and another guy. So if you can't get a hold of one, call the next. Can't get a hold of them, call the next. You're gonna get a hold of somebody at some point, versus just sitting there like, well, we called the one and you got nothing, and there's like no one else you can call. And a lot of people see this as like a financial thing for the most part, which is true, because there's a great way to build and save money and have the greatest life humanly possible. It's not just one income, it could be four incomes coming in, or maybe three while one person focuses on going getting in and out of school. Okay, they're good. Well, next person. And you can just, if you all truly love and care about it the way you're supposed to, there's so much more you can accomplish versus trying to struggle with just one income or two and trying to make it work, balance everything out from household, life expenses. Oh, we need to save money and do this and build this, that, and the other together. It was like, hey, now it's not just our income. It's ours plus theirs. And if we work it correctly, we can all have what we want and then some. Have each other, have the house, the car, whatever else we want. And even a dynamic to where, let's say, for example, there's children involved. Okay, you got four grown adults who can take care of this one or two children or whatever. So, if someone can't make it to take someone to practice, they're at the school event, basketball, football game. You don't have just one person or two people cheering, you got three or four. You can't take them, hey, you can take them. You can't take them, hey, someone can take this kid where they need to go. There's also different points of views as far as like getting advice. So there's not just, oh, it's just one way it has to be looked at. Nope, we got four different people here, four different experiences. If one person's way of explaining something doesn't get through, then we go to the next. Somewhere we should be able to find something. And all these different ideas and experiences come together can give a more broader perspective of how life should be. You get the best chance of saying, hey, I'm open to everything versus being so narrow-minded or having that tunnel vision on one way of thinking. Hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes lots of sense. So it sounds as though your best dynamic that you want is more like a quad, where it's just four people.
Yes.
So, in that, tying into the fact that you're also a dominant, would you want one of your partners to be like a sub or a slave or a little for you? Or would you play with others as well as have your quad? So, in your quad, would you want like poly fidelity, or would everyone still be able to be open to create more connections?
That's an interesting one. I would probably say I would probably say poly fidelity ultimately will probably be the end goal, because if you can meet the right couple, however, then it's like there's technically no reason to go outside to look for anything else. But in the same regards, I'm not gonna be that selfish to be to where like, hey, once you're with me or with us, and that's it, you can't go anywhere else. Because then that leads back to the initial thought process, oh, you're wrong because you want to go, nope, I'm gonna let you have that. My thing would be, hey, as long as at the end of the day, we got each other, me and my partner, you two have each other, and the four of us have each other's back. And if you go out and do your thing, play with others, hey, that's your business. Who am I to interfere? They can all come over. We may all have some fun together, maybe, but at the end of the day, as long as I know that you two are safe and you two know that we're safe, at the end of the day, ultimately, that's what matters. So you can do your thing, but just make sure you come home safely, and that's all I'm going to be concerned with.
Okay.
As far as like having my partner being like my little, my slave, my pet, absolutely. I would definitely want that. So worst case scenario, let's say for some reason our quad does not work anymore, or we've outgrown it, or something happens to where we can't make it work, then at the very least, again, nice to know that me and my partner are solid and truly committed to one another. So we have to step away for whatever reason, then hey, and it's back to just us, then we can still love and have each other, have a great time, and then we can either try it again. So you know what, we're good, let's just keep it with us, and we'll just be poly and have other partners, but at the end of the day, it's still just us, however the case may be.
So, although you're poly, it sounds as though you're more so like monogamous in your kink. So you only want like one sub, or would you be willing to have like multiple subs and create like a house?
I would absolutely be open to it. And I guess it'd be to a certain degree, it'd be the form of polygyny, to where it will be the sister wives and things of that nature have a sisterhood, not a problem. In that particular aspect, then for me, I would probably say maybe me and two submissives, maybe three at the most. And I think that'll be it for me. I mean, I'm not gonna say I want a harem, and I want like eight or nine motherfuckers just walking around and like, hey, yeah, nah, because you can have your eight or nine, and that may be great on one end, but that's a whole nother eight or nine people that you have to be able to provide for. You have to take care of their mental, physical, and emotional needs, spiritual needs, and that's a lot for you to take on as one person, as one dominant, versus eight or nine submissives, because that's everyone's gonna have their own way of thinking, different mindsets, personalities. And despite how well they may be trained and so on, look, not every day's gonna be rainbows and lollipops. Something's gonna happen. Some days, someone or two or multiples are not gonna get along, and you have to fix that. But then you still have to maintain the others. So it's like, nah, let me keep it simple. But I like my sanity just as like everything else. So let me have two. I can deal with two. Are you two arguing for whatever reason? Look, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna fix this. Go sit down and talk, and if we just agree to disagree, well, that's why I got my paddle and my rod and crop, my flogger for, hey, y'all go get some act right. That's going to happen. So now say if it's three, okay. Again, we can still work with that. It's four of us, cool. But for me, that's my particular limit. I'll be like
So
maximum
you cap
three.
out at three.
I mean, I could probably handle more, but
But not like a full 24/7. It would be more like a play and leave than.
if he goes over three, yes. But if it's up to three, it'd be like, hey, we're all together in same household 24/7. If we go past three, okay, you can come over, we'll have a session, give you your 1 or 2 hours or whatever, however much time you want. Then after that, yeah, you gotta go. Because when I'm tired, I'm tired. I need to relax and let them take care of me. Like, yeah, it's but you know, I ideally two, maybe three on the high end is like okay, but after three is like okay, I'm good. So, but yeah, that would be ideal for me, just to, if I had to pick it and have multiple sub, three be my limit.
That makes sense. My next to last question for you, because I'm
Okay.
sorry I've been picking your brain,
No, it's been
is
fun.
if, let's say, for instance, let's talk about contracts.
All righty.
So, how important is having a contract to you? the whole contract and vetting process?
I've actually had this question posed to me before. For me, I'm not necessarily against contracts, but they're not that big of a deal for me personally.
Okay.
Just because for me, with a contract, means that you're going to be very high protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for me, I'm very mid, probably more so low protocol, just mm-hmm. because I still want you to be yourself at the end of the day. I don't want you to be so wrapped and immersed in trying to serve me and make me happy and so on and so forth that you lose yourself. So, as long as we have a general understanding, I may give you, say, hey, these are some guidelines to go by.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe one or two generic general rules, but then that's going to be it. I'm not going to be like, okay, you got to be up at 6 a.m., have my shower ready to go, have my mouthwash, toothbrush, shaving cream, all that. Nah, that's too much. But to say, hey, you know, as soon as you wake up in the morning, you know, if we're separate, I need to get a morning, good morning text or something from you to know that I'm the first thing you think about. I'm the first thing that's on your mind. You know, or hey, you wake up, then within the first 15 minutes of you waking up, hey, you need to call me to check in. That'll be something I would do. And more so like, okay, just go through your work day, do your thing. I'll call and check on you or text you to see, check on you. And if you don't reply back right away, that's fine. But I'm going to give you up to like 5 minutes to get back and let me know why. Versus when I call, you just got to answer. I don't give a damn if you in the meeting, you in the bathroom, you talking to the kid. No, you stop. Nah, that's, to me, that's unrealistic.
Okay.
So the whole contract thing, I get it. Now, I do understand it because everything's defined in black and white, but the world doesn't operate in black and white all the time. There's a lot of gray.
Right.
A lot of things can happen. So I like to say, hey, here's the general guideline. Here's something to go by. You can have a general understanding versus it's this, that, and the other, and it's this way or the highway. Nah, that's just not me. But that is semi-important, but just not at the top of my list. As far as vetting is extremely important, because you want to make sure that no matter what, at the end of the day, you're being safe. You want to make sure that you're being mindful of what you're getting yourself into. You'll hear a lot of, maybe I'll just say, inexperienced dominance. I won't criticize no one else how they're thinking. I'll just say maybe inexperienced, because you'll hear a lot say, oh, I'm in charge, you're going to do things my way, and that's just it. But you have to realize, or most dominants have to realize, that, you know, a submissive coming to you and giving you her submission is a gift. And you have to respect that. You have to appreciate it. Because if you do not, you can say all day long, oh yeah, I'm a dom and I do this, that, and the other. But if you don't have a submissive to give you the submission, then what are you in charge of? You're just yourself. And you're going to continue to be that way until you realize that this is something they're offering you as a gift. They don't have to. Just like, oh, let's just say, for example, you don't have to, you know, get up and go to work. I mean, you can do it because, hey, you want to take care of yourself, but you don't have to. But you know, if you don't, this is the end result. Hey, you're going to be out on your ass. But, you know, you don't have to. Maybe a better way of me putting it, like, you know, is with your partner or something. You know, if you know that they have a, you know, a physical ailment, they have to take some kind of medicine or something at a particular time, you know, you can be like, yeah, you can get it for yourself. There's nothing wrong with you that can stop you from doing it. But because I love you this much and I'm going to be this for you, I'm going to help you and remind you, or I'm going to give it to you myself. That's a gift that you're giving to them, and you don't have to, because they can do it themselves. That's necessarily nothing stopping them from getting it on their own. But because you want to be this person for them, you're going to do this for them, look out for them when they may not be thinking about themselves. So it works on those lines for me.
And then my last question is about collaring. So in regards to collaring, if you find someone that you want to collar,
mm-hmm.
Do you want to do like a collaring ceremony? Or would you just like get a necklace or a watch or a ring and be like, here you go? Like, how do you even believe in collaring? Like, that's like three questions. But
No. Actually, I do believe in coloring.
okay.
I absolutely do. It'll be nice to do the ceremony because, for one, to get colored is a special event. It really is a special event because that means this person has been with you for X amount of time, but they know you so well and so completely to where you don't even have to question or notify them what they need to do for you. They automatically know. And then they've also gotten to the point to where they instinctively know what to do to make you happy. They've learned your emotions, your mindsets, and your angst and your idiosyncrasies, and be like, hey, daddy is upset today.
Right.
Whether you verbalize it or not, be like, no, just the way he walks or the way he's acting, that look on his face, something's wrong. Let me go do this to get him in a good mood, and maybe he'll tell me. So that takes a deep bond, that takes a deep submission, that means paying attention. So it takes a lot to get there with your dom. If you've gotten there, you deserve to be rewarded for that. As far as, and I actually have it here, I'll show you.
Okay. What you gonna show me? I'm so excited.
This is something I like to do for a bit of a coloring session, so that way it's not so ostentatious. But me being the owner, here's the key. But you'd be collared.
That's so pretty.
Yes. Lock it in place. And this key actually works to unlock it. So you can't take it off unless I put the key in and lock it for you.
Okay, that is cool. It's so pretty. Can I take a picture of it?
Yes, feel free.
Yay. So, I thank you so much for sharing with me, Sir Blake, and for letting me take up all your time.
Not a problem. It has been a pleasure.
All right. So, again, this is your favorite little girl, Taj. Thank you so much for listening to Little Girl in a Poly World. You can follow me on social media on Facebook at Little Girl in a Poly World, on Instagram at Little Girl Poly World, and on YouTube at Little Girl in a Poly World.